homeschooling can feel like the most overwhelming, frustrating, impossible thing to do, especially at this time of year. It's long, it's cold, it's dark. The kids have been stuck in the house. You feel like, well, you've been stuck in the house too, which is fun. The work is never ending.
It does feel gloomy.
you're just gloomy. But anyhow, rather than locking yourself in a bathroom and screaming, we're not going to judge you here. If you do, we've all been there. Today we're going to share some ideas that'll set you up with some effective routines, help you get a handle on everything. So stick around.
Hello, and welcome to the season 2 premiere of the Stay at Homeschooling Mom podcast. My name is Mary Ellen Barrett, and I'm joined by my friend Ginny Sufert. And together we have about 50 years of homeschool experience, and we still don't know everything, but we are happy to share. We know. Yeah, I know. We're happy to share what we have learned. Right. Yeah. We know that we don't know everything, and we're excited to be back for season 2. It was a good break. Did you have a good break, Ginny?
I loved it, actually. To be honest, you know, I do love speaking to the homeschooling community. I have a special love for them, I admit it. But again, it was the winter. It was dark. It was gloomy. I didn't have to deal with my internet service. So it was okay taking a little break.
The break was good. I feel a little bit more refreshed now and charged up to head into season 2 here. So we're talking about, we titled this How to Homeschool and Not Lose Your Mind, because we felt like that was a good way to jump back into the podcast. A lot of these things you're going to have heard before from us and probably from other people, wise people, but it's a good refresher to just like hear these things again and say, yeah, you know what? That's not a half bad idea. I could be doing that.
Yeah. So I think before we jump right in though, let's thank a great friend, a supporter of our podcast here, Seton Home Study School. They are our primary sponsor here on the podcast, and we're really blessed to have them. Seton has been the premier Catholic homeschooling curriculum for over 40 years now. They provide daily lesson plans, a grading service, counseling services, standardized testing, all available with your enrollment. Seton is entirely Catholic. It's very affordable. Any of you who are coming from Catholic schools will know how incredibly affordable it is.
Yeah.
So check out the website at www.setonhome.org. Mary Ellen, how can you homeschool and not lose your mind?
Well, I have found that there is no magic bullet here. There's no method or system that's going to work unless you're disciplined. So discipline for mom, I think, is the most important thing. You have to focus on your children's needs. You make a plan for every day and you stick with it. Schedules work, you know, even when they don't work, they work because you know what's coming. You have a plan for the day. You know where you need to be. You know what you need to be doing. So you know what you need to get back to too. If the baby's diaper explodes or you had to go run out and take care of grandma or neighbor needed help. So, you know, at this time of day, we have to be doing this. So a schedule does help and being very disciplined about it because by nature, most people, and I include myself, I would rather just sit in my chair and drink tea and read books all day. Perfectly happy doing that or doing my embroidery or taking walks on the nature trail. I am not geared toward, going all day, you know, but as a homeschool mom, you have to go all day. So you have to put the work before the fun. And discipline is hard. It really is hard, but we have to do it. So
the schedule is the key. I agree with you there. I had an immense family. And if we didn't start every day, and for a lot of years, we started every day at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Early's better.
And if we didn't start at 8 o'clock in the morning, it was like, well, we drifted in. We drifted in at 9:30 or 10 o'clock. So, you know, I had kids that were ice skaters. They had to be at the rink very early. They would come home. They would start their homeschooling. We had a time to get up. We had a time for breakfast. We had a time to start schoolwork. We had a time for snacks. And the reason that I developed over the years, because if you don't say, well, we're going to have our snack break every day at 10 o'clock, they start to get hungry about 8:15.
Right. And it just becomes a distraction too.
Can I have something to eat? Can I go into the kitchen? I need a drink. So at 10 o'clock, don't talk to me. Talk to the clock. At 10 o'clock, you get your drink. Well, I'm hungry. Should I have more for breakfast this morning? That's it. I'm not, you know, so having that, they know what to expect. And after a while, the problem became a lot less severe. you're going to get your break at 10 o'clock. It's going to last for 20 minutes. You can get a fast snack and a run around the block or shoot a hoop.
Right.
You can do that. And you know you have lunch every day at noon. Even if we're in the middle of something, you can have lunch at noon. So if you want to take a test and you think it's going to take longer than 15 minutes, don't start it at 11:45.
Right. Yeah. It gives them good time management skills for stuff like that. And study after study proves it, especially small children do much better when they have good routines. They're better rested. Absolutely. They're better nourished. They know what to expect. They just do better. It's excellent to have a good routine in place. And that doesn't mean you stick to it like you were some kind of, Nazi soldier or something, but you have to have a rhythm to your day. So if you start at 8, if it's 8:15, don't worry, your day is not shot, but you're going to start at 8-ish. And then you're going to have your snack at 10. And then you're going to have your lunch at noon. And then you're going to start back at 1. And you're going to work from 1 to 3. And then you're going to tidy up. Like, these are all really good routines for kids to get into. So discipline.
It is. It makes a big difference. And it also teaches your children time management and expectations.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Which is a real biggie for kids today. You meet college kids who have no idea how to get to class on time.
Right. Yeah. It's an important life skill, and expectations for myself too. Like, I need to get dinner on the table. My husband expects to be fed when he gets home from work. And, I need
selfish
to,
guy.
he needs clean underwear, and so I have to have rhythms to also get my work done and my outside of the house work. Like, there have to be times that I do certain things. So
and
certain
it does
things
calm
get
you
done.
Down too. So sure. For example, my big rule with the kids, I called myself a nap Nazi. We would have lunch, and then after lunch, the little kids went down for their naps. And it was like Pavlov's dogs. Finishing the last couple of bites of their lunch, and you can see the little eyes were starting to... Because they were so used to going to sleep after lunch. So that was number one. Number two is when they stopped napping after lunch, which even I could only extend a nap so far, they knew they had quiet time.
Right.
My preschooler still had to go lay down. They could have a book or, play with a doll or something, but they had to go lay down in their rooms. They had to have quiet time. Because of that, because we all knew what was going to go on at that time, my high school kids knew that's when mom can meet with me
right.
and go over my work and help me out. So definitely discipline and some sort of schedule is incredibly important. At the same time, now we're going to say, do what works for your family and what does not work for another family, because it might not work for you.
Right.
The internet is a great tool. That's how we all learned about homeschooling in the last 20 years, but it can drive you nuts. And the whole topic of this is how to homeschool and not go crazy.
Right.
Big
yeah.
thing is, don't go on to moms and say, well, my son is having trouble. I just can't seem to get them to settle down and do their work. What do you do, mom?
Oh my gosh. You'll get 200 answers.
200 answers. Half of them will be idiotic. Quite frankly, some of the stuff that I read on the internet, I can't believe that I'm reading it. So it's kind of a waste. The other thing is, you can kind of go down a rabbit hole. So you're exhausted. The kid gave you a hard time today. You get on the internet, you get on Facebook, you ask your question, what can I do to settle my son down? And then, Game of Thrones videos come on. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can go down a rabbit hole and you're wasting your own time. So it's not a great idea. On the other hand, what I've always suggested, and I really believe this, say there's a lady at your church. She's got 8 kids. And those kids sit there like little soldiers during mass. Become her best friend.
Yeah, it's true. If you have, you become more like the people you surround yourself with. So if you're surrounding yourself with a bunch of people who are a hot mess, it's likely you're going to fall apart. But my best friend, she's been my best friend for 25 years. We homeschooled together. Her youngest is like my middle kids' ages. So she's done homeschooling now. But we did so much stuff together, homeschooling wise. We did the craft day together, and we took them to daily mass together. And we would kind of bounce ideas off each other, like how to organize, how to do this, how to do recipes we'd share, like all that kind of stuff. And we made each other better. We made each other better, but we were in it together. And it was such a nice thing. It's such nice memories of us doing all these lovely things together. But we were like a united front. We were a team trying to get through this homeschooling thing together. And if you make friends with people who are supportive in that way, you're going to elevate your whole life. It's just going to be better. But if you go on Instagram and you follow a hashtag that says like homeschool mom, you're going to make yourself crazy. You're just going to go
crazy.
You don't
know who this woman is. Her kids could be brats for all you know.
Right.
That's what I always said.
A lot of these people are, they're running businesses. So, you know, they might have a great deal of help in the background that you know nothing about. You know, they might have a secretary or a house cleaner.
Nanny or whatever, right.
Yeah. Now,
and the other thing, of course, is that the things that are important to you. So one of the things that was very important to me was that my kids have sort of basic courtesy. I wanted them to be really nice people. So they're not, if they, you were my friend in those days, you weren't going to be Mary Ellen. You're going to be Mrs. Barrett.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was important to me. It might not be important to other people, but it was important to me. It was important that they say please and thank you. And is it too much trouble? Send out a thank you note. All those types of things. So I surrounded myself with people who shared that value.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You do become more, and your kids will become more like you people you surround yourself with. And the images that you surround yourself with. So I would advise staying off Instagram, homeschool, anything. Or Pinterest, anything. I mean, that kind of stuff is fun to play around with, but you cannot compare yourself with that kind of thing. You have to figure out what works for your family, your finances, your husband, all of that stuff. And there's going to be a lot of trial and error with that. So
another thing that is, we kind of touched on it very, very briefly when I started, we said we used to start our homeschooling at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. Get up early.
It does.
It makes all the difference in the world. If you can get up before your kids, actually, and say a quiet prayer.
Yes. That time is so life-giving for me. Just, it really is, because you have a few minutes to talk to God. You have a few minutes to have your caffeine or whatever you have in the morning that helps you. You have a few minutes to maybe comb your hair and put on some lip gloss and feel good about yourself. Just calmly and peacefully approach your day that way when you get up early. And not everybody's a morning person. I happen to be a morning person. But if you're not, then you really have to make sure you're getting enough sleep. So count back. You want to get up at, you know, 6 a.m. Count back however much sleep you need, 8 hours, whatever, and go to bed at that time.
Go to bed at 10.
Go to bed at 10.
I'm not a morning person. Now, part of my issue was I had so many kids. And I didn't... Not only was I a nap Nazi, but I was a bedtime Nazi.
Oh, I was too. You have to be.
Go to bed. Even when they were like 15, you can't put them to bed at 8 o'clock anymore. Be someplace where I'm not looking at you.
You're right. Yeah, same thing still in my house. Go away.
I don't want to see you. Good night. Bye.
I've been a mother for 12 hours now and I'm done.
Yeah. But every so often my husband would come home from work and say, do they have to go to bed now? I didn't see them all day. I'd say, well, I saw them all day. The whole day I saw them. So if you want to see them, go someplace where I'm not. And go see them there. So what would happen when my kids went to bed, that's when I folded my laundry, ironed, mop my floors.
Yeah.
I did a lot the night at night because I didn't have time during the day. There was always a kid. And then I was up half the night, you know, nursing a baby who woke up or taking a toddler to the potty or whatever. So I was not a great morning person because I was dead by the time I got up. But one of the things that really helped me was if we're all going out tomorrow, we're going to the zoo. I want your clothes laid out.
Right. Yeah.
And we're going to mass tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
I want your clothes laid out. That you put a hanger on the doorknob with the dress you're going to wear or the socks. I don't want to find out at 6:30 in the morning that you don't have clean underwear.
Right. Yeah. No, that's, I'm always thanking evening Mary Ellen. Morning Mary Ellen thanks evening Mary Ellen when I do things like empty the dishwasher or.
Me too. I don't want to see dishes in the sink.
Yeah.
When I come in the morning.
And when you establish these kinds of habits, now mostly I have adult kids living at home still,
right.
and I have two seniors, and they very often, the teens will just do that stuff. Like they empty the dishwasher without me
right.
saying anything. And one of my kids cleans the kitchen every night after I've cooked dinner. So I don't clean the kitchen at night and it gets clean. So we've established these kinds of habits. So now they just do it. Like I don't have to say it. And so I really, once I cook dinner and put it on the table, I'm done. I'm done mommying and housekeeping and all that kind of stuff. Because they take over a little bit. But
yeah.
when they were younger and they weren't doing as many chores, morning Mary Ellen was always so grateful to evening Mary Ellen
right.
for doing all of the chores. And sometimes evening Mary Ellen was lazy and didn't do them and morning Mary Ellen was ticked at her.
I have to tell you, evening Ginny would rather do it like in a coma. then have to wake up to dishes in the sink. You know, we now there's just the two of us because our kids were all out. But and we have a very small house. We have a log cabin. It's a tiny house. We also have a dog that sheds as she walks.
Yeah, I have one of them too.
It's a big white English lab. Somebody said that she's part Great Pyrenees.
Yeah. That's my dog is part Great Pyrenees.
Yeah, Pyrador. They call this a Pyrador. So anyhow, it's the dog sheds as it moves. And it's like, I'm telling you, it's like tumbleweed as you walk through the room. It's awful. Yeah. So every night after dinner, I have a stick vacuum I take to the floors. And I vacuum absolutely every single night. And my husband, when he's with me, as soon as he sees me do that, he gets out the carpet vacuum. I have, believe it or not, in a one-room house, I have five vacuums. He gets out the carpet vacuum, and he vacuums the carpets. It's just, I don't want to wake up to a hairy house. I don't want to wake up to messy countertops. I don't want to wake up. I like to wake up and my sink is clean and my countertops are wiped down. My stove is wiped down. I really like that. So I think a good morning, we're saying to people, get up early. But a good morning absolutely starts the night before.
Yeah, that's. I absolutely believe you have five vacuums. People, do we believe she has five vacuums?
I do. I have five vacuums. One of those RoboVacs. I have a Robo. I have them all.
I have three. Okay, so
actually,
I have three.
I just counted. I have four. I have four vacuums. I have the stick vac. I have the carpet vac. I have the RoboVac, and then I have another vacuum. We have a loft. And I don't want to have to schlep the vacuum up and down the stairs. So I have another vacuum up there.
Up there. Yes. I guess I have four.
I have four. I don't have five.
The little handheld one count? Because I have one of them. I have the stick vac, the carpet vac, and the RoboVac. Yep. So I guess I have four.
All counts. Anyhow, I think if we talk about dirty dishes and dirty floors, how about we take a little break? You know, Seton is our primary sponsor and we're very grateful to them, but we do have other sponsors that we're grateful to as well. So if you don't mind, we'll just take a short break and listen to a message from one of them.
It's great. I think my Seton education really gave me a lot of the truth, but it was cool to go into an area where you could dialogue with other people and kind of pursue the truth in a different way than just than receiving it. To learn not only in the class how to be good or what is good, but then to also learn outside the class, learning through relationship. I've grown so much as an individual because I can engage not only with the text we read in class, but anything I encounter in the world, I am able to say, okay, this is Hegel talking. I can figure out how to find the truth with people who don't even really know how to dialogue well, because I've been taught so well how to dialogue in the classroom and outside of the classroom with sparring with friends.
I'm Anthony Klein, a Seton Home Studies School graduate and a junior here at Belmont Abbey's Honors College.
The Honors College at Belmont Abbey. To learn more, visit www.bac.edu/honors.
Well, thanks for sticking with us. And we want to thank our sponsor again. We are very grateful for all of the support. We literally could not do this without our great sponsors. So check them out when you get a minute. We were talking about vacuum cleaners. It was fascinating.
Fascinating topic, vacuum cleaners. I think we should elevate the conversation just a little bit.
A little bit.
About how to keep yourself from going nuts homeschooling and move into prayer.
Essential.
You know, most of
essential.
Us started homeschooling, I think, because we were somewhat discouraged by the spiritual or the social environment in the schools that were available to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of the big reasons people do. It's one of the big reasons I did. Virtues, civics, morals, these things are becoming more and more absent from brick and mortar schools of every description, public, private, Christian,
my
Catholic.
My own experience has been, I think, now I started homeschooling in 1989, and I had my kids in Catholic schools for years. We moved. The new Catholic school turned out to be a disaster. And that's when I started homeschooling. But I think in the late 80s and 90s, Catholic schools really had taken a turn downward. I do think that. They were less spiritual. I think that's changed somewhat. I want to be really careful with the parents who have their kids in Catholic schools. I think they've gotten better. I think that what happened was a lot of these schools closed because people are saying, wait a minute, why am I going to spend thousands of dollars a year to send my kid to a school that's not all that much different from the public school?
Right. Yeah. So you've seen a lot of these little charter Catholic schools are popping up.
Yes.
And I think that's wonderful.
I do too.
Wonderful. I think they're doing a great job.
We talk about homeschooling, but what we really want is Catholic education.
Right. And parental choice. You want to be able to choose what's best for your family. And some of these little charter schools that my daughter taught at one in New Jersey. There's like a whole slew of them in Texas. I know I have a friend's daughter teaches it. These are all excellent choices. But if for some reason you can't do that, you know, homeschooling is
one of the big reasons is money.
They can be very expensive. But we were talking about prayer.
Prayer and devotions,
yeah,
I think, is a big thing. I didn't have, if you walked into my house, it didn't look like a chapel. But on the other hand, and still today with just my husband and myself, like this time of year, I have a statue of Jesus carrying his cross. And it's up on my mantle because it's Lent.
I have that too. Isn't that, you have that one too? I do. I put it out at Lent. When the kids were little, we used to move it along the mantle.
Yes.
And we have Stations of the Cross up and things like that. Yeah, I actually once did a little Instagram video. I forget why. But then my parish shared it because it showed my living room. And my parish shared it and said, this is what a Catholic home should look like.
Oh, how nice.
Because I thought that was really sweet. But I have a huge picture of Our Lady of Guadalupe that was actually in Our Lady of Guadalupe Church in Brooklyn when it burned down in the 50s. That was the only thing that was not burnt.
Right.
The pastor gave it to my Nana, my grandmother, and said, just always keep it hung up, please. And so she did in her house, and then my mother did, and now I have it. So it's a church picture. It's pretty big. And I have pretty a crucifix big. And stuff like that. You don't walk in again, like, and think chapel, but you do walk into my house and think, oh, Catholic. They're Catholic right. In here.
I think everybody should have a crucifix in their bedroom. I don't have a crucifix. My daughter brought me a beautiful cross back from Greece one time. Oh. So I have a Greek cross there. My one son has a holy water font as soon as you walk in the door.
I have one of them too. Yeah. You should walk into the house and know that you're Catholic somehow. There should be some indication.
What reminds you? Because mm-hmm. You and I know with a lot of kids, you can get so aggravated and you're like a lunatic sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you see that picture of the Blessed Mother and you think she stood at the bottom of a cross and watched her son being tortured to death.
Right. And I'm screaming about dirty socks.
My life's not that tough.
Yeah.
My life's not all that tough. Okay.
She's looking serenely down at you as you're screaming about dirty socks.
Right. I think maybe we can, you know, change our attitude a little bit. The other thing is, I think it really centers the kids. We talked about schedules before and how important they are. Starting your school day with a prayer. It can be a short prayer. It can be a Hail Mary.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be anything major. When we take a trip, to this day, if I have my grandkids with me and we're driving, you know, for more than just to the grocery store, we say a memorare and a prayer to Our Lady of the Way to protect us.
That's a wonderful habit to be in. Like we used to pray the rosary. Yeah. It's a nice thing. It gets them in the habit of praying. I just have three teenagers home now, homeschooling, and we have morning devotions that we pray every morning.
Lovely thing to do. You know, obviously grace before meals would be an obvious one.
Right.
If you can't go to daily mass, you know, we years ago when Dr. Mary Kay Clark and I used to do a lot of homeschooling conferences together, she'd always tell parents, you know, daily mass. Well, it's easier if you live in Chicago.
Right. Yeah. If there's church on every corner, I can get to church in 90 seconds if I hit the light. So, I mean, that's easy for me, but if you're 50 miles from your church or 20 minutes from your church,
I live an hour from church.
Yeah.
So what I do is I try to go, they have a noon mass on Tuesdays and Thursdays. So I go Sundays, Tuesdays and Thursdays. But even if it's just one day a week, every Friday morning, mm-hmm. we try to go to mass. If you can do that, that would be wonderful. Try to go to confession. Kids need confession. You need confession.
Oh, I certainly did.
Yeah. You need
constantly.
Confession.
I could set up a tent in there. Just always be confessing.
Kids need confession. Say the Angelus at lunchtime. That's a nice habit to get into.
I know. That is a beautiful prayer and it never became one of ours. And I regret that because it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful, beautiful prayer to the Blessed Mother. Certainly the Angelus is something you can do. I used to have, so Seton Home Study School, I haven't had a kid enrolled in 10 years. Maybe you can tell me. When they send the books, do they still send the plastic rosaries?
Yeah, they usually do. Those are donated by a wonderful woman who runs a rosary mission. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes they run out. So sometimes you'll get a box without one. But by and large, every box goes out with a little plastic rosary in them.
Well, I had so many kids enrolled through the years. I had rosaries coming out of my eyeballs.
Oh, yeah, me too. I could open a retail establishment to sell rosaries.
In fact, I actually sent them to Ghana. There was an African priest who was going back to Ghana. And I said, listen, give your groceries out to the kids when you get back, because I must have had a couple of dozen. But part of what we did, nobody smokes anymore, but for a long time, cars still had ashtrays. Mm-hmm. And I would put rosaries in the ashtrays. And when we went on a trip that was going to be more than 5 minutes, we would say the rosary.
Yeah. It's a good habit to be in. And it's good to center your life around prayer. And moms, it is, I've had a little prayer routine in the morning for myself for years. And when I skip it, I know it during the day. Like, I'm just not as settled. I'm not as focused. I think the prayer really changes us and it makes us better able to cope with the frustrations and the aggravations and the exhaustion. I think you just are going to find whatever your devotion is. It doesn't have to be a big, long thing. Like Jenny said, get a little prayer book, say a daily prayer. If you're a rosary person, that whatever it
is, that Divine Mercy takes 5 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, whatever it is, it doesn't have to be long. I think people get a little intimidated thinking they have to do, you know, pray the liturgy of the hours, or you're not really praying unless you're doing a whole rosary or something like that. You can just quietly just ask God to bless you and focus on his name. His name is a prayer. Jesus is a prayer. So just find whatever works for you and start your day like that. And it will change you. It will help. I promise you. It is the best weapon in your arsenal, your homeschooling arsenal. There is prayer. It will really, really help. And I speak from experience. When I skip it or I go a few days without paying attention to my prayer life, it shows. It really shows.
Really shows. And then finally today, I think before we wrap this up, we've got to talk about the principles of our school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You got to consult your husband, the principal.
Absolutely have to. So some men want to have a great dinner on the table. That's what's maybe their mother. I was lucky. My husband's mother couldn't fry water. He was delighted to get any meal he got. And to this day, we've been married forever, since dinosaurs roamed the earth. And when I make up dinner, I say, honey, that was delicious. Thank you so much.
So that's important to him. Like a nice meal was important to him.
A nice meal. I think that's why he married me, because he found out my mother could cook. I do think that that's important to him. Other men, but he could come home to a pretty messy house. He honestly doesn't care. He honestly doesn't care.
Yeah.
That's more important to me than it is to him. You have to, though, that's what he wants. Like one of the things for years, my husband's name is Ed. He used to come home from work 2 or 3 days a week at 9:30 at night. He worked a late shift.
Yeah.
And I would go out of my way to whatever we had for dinner. We had macaroni and meatballs or something. I would put up a little pie tin. I'd put a piece of tin foil over it. And at 9 o'clock, I'd stick it in the oven so that it would heat up by the time he got home.
Right.
And I remember him saying to me once, I can't tell you what it means to come home and have a hot meal waiting for me.
Yeah. It's such a small thing to do. When my husband David worked for a firm that he doesn't work for now, and being a CPA, sometimes they work very late hours, especially in tax season. And he was in Penn Station waiting for a train with the partner, guy he works with. And the guy was getting McDonald's in the train station. And he said to Dave, do you want anything? And he said, no, Mary has my dinner at home in the oven. And the guy's like, she saves you dinner? And he goes, yeah, well, she cooks every night and she just puts it in the warming oven. Right. And his wife was not saving him dinner. Like she ate with the kids early and then he was on his own. That was it. She was done for the day. And, maybe it wasn't important to him.
Maybe he didn't care. He was just as happy with Ronald.
Yeah, I'm not getting in the middle of what they have. But David just, it was important to him. Like Ed, he was just so grateful to have a home cooked meal every night waiting for him, no matter what time he got home. And still, he still has that. And it was so easy for me to do. And like Ed, he didn't care if the house was not picked up.
No,
or I didn't vacuum that day or something like that.
I don't think Ed would even notice, to be honest with you. I think the dog hair could be like tumbleweed. He wouldn't.
Yeah.
It's not something on his radar. So first of all, you want to do what's important to your husband. Your marriage has to come first. Nothing else is going to work if your marriage doesn't work.
Right. You have to set that as a priority. You really do.
So whatever it happens to be now, it might be that he likes to have clean socks and undies in his drawer every day. Mm-hmm. Folded nicely. Other guys don't mind picking through the clean laundry basket and grabbing it out there. Whatever is important to your husband, make sure you do at least the important stuff.
Right.
But then, having been really nice to him, we then want to turn to him and say, listen, buddy, I've got a problem. So little Buddy, our youngest, Buddy Junior there, is giving me a very hard time. And I know it's getting to be springtime and I know he wants to be outside, but we've got to finish up this school year. And he is driving me nuts. And now that he's 11 years old, I could tie him to a tree and flog him with a bullwhip and he doesn't care. You know, boys hit that age where they all do. Of a sudden mom is just like, oh, that's so cute. You want me to do schoolwork? Love you, mom. You know, that's they hit that sort of teenage years. And I've had some kids who are really, really nice kids. If you met them, you would have loved them. And it wasn't that they were rotten to me or rude or anything like that. It was just like, oh, she wants me to do schoolwork.
Yeah, I'm dealing with that at the moment with a 15-year-old who just thinks the whole thing is a colossal joke. and you need that support.
What I did find, though, is like I say, I could have tied them to a tree and flogged them and they would have yawned in my face. But their dad said jump and they said, yes, sir, how high?
Yeah. And so he needs to be on board with like
something about a dad.
Yeah.
And he might say to you, well, what am I supposed to do about it?
But then tell him.
This family boat afloat, honey. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to work. What do you expect me? There's nothing I can do about this. But actually he can. First of all, he has to speak to little Buddy before he leaves to work in the morning. Mm-hmm. And Buddy, you know, dad leaves to work at the 6:30 train, but Buddy's not up until 7. Oh, well, Buddy gets up earlier.
Right. Yeah.
Dad gets him up. Listen, Buddy, your mother told me what you pulled on her yesterday ain't going to fly today. So just remember that I'm thinking about you all day and this is not going to fly. You make sure you do what you have to do. And then maybe he even calls at lunch.
Yeah. Those conversations are very helpful. And the follow-up is kind of essential.
Well, like, call at lunch. You know, let me speak to Buddy. I didn't call him to speak to you. I want to speak to Buddy. Buddy, remember what I said this morning? Because I remember.
Yeah.
I remember.
The follow through is really, really important. And it helps your husband be aware of what's going on in the house. And even though it's exhausting, you know, having to discipline them during the day when he's busy at work and stuff like that, it really sets the tone. Like, we're not tolerating nonsense. We're a united front on this. So you have to have your husband. You also have to consult, like, they're his kids too. So, like, what are his priorities for your homeschool too? Like, I knew a woman who... she was trying all these different, like she was doing Charlotte Mason and she was doing notebooking and she was doing all this creative kind of stuff. And her husband finally said to her, I would love to see a math test. Or a spell. Like she was doing like the kind of easy, unstructured, not unschooling, but close. And that was not his thing. So she ended up enrolling in Seton and it went great.
And he has a right to have his input in there.
Certainly, they're his kids too. And like, it's worth going out to lunch one Saturday or taking a walk or going to the coffee shop and sit down and saying, how do we want this homeschool to run? How do we want this to look? What kind of academics are we interested in? And decide that together. Because he might have no opinion whatsoever. And so whatever works for you, as long as they, you know, graduate and are competent and fluent in things and like they can read and write and whatever. He might have no specific priorities, but it's worth checking in occasionally to see what he thinks. I really think that makes the whole
thing. First of all, to see what he thinks. And also I think if he feels like he has input, he's going to be a lot more supportive.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
He's going to be a whole lot more supportive.
He might be interested in helping you teach or something like that. If there's a subject that he's good at, but he's waiting to be asked because he doesn't want to get in the way. You know, this is your thing.
Well, one thing I have to say that my husband did, getting back to the discipline, I had one son that was a real problem. And my husband was a road salesman at the time. He'd take the kid in the car with his books.
That's genius.
My husband's in there calling on customers and the kid's sitting in the car doing his math.
Yeah.
Wow. And he did it when he knew his father was going to come out after 15 or 20 minutes and want to see what was done.
Yeah. And so that's
you don't have to do it too often.
It's so good because that's telling the kid that your father takes this very seriously. We all take this very seriously. And this is just what you have to do. And it could be done the hard way or it could be done. You could be doing it comfortably in your house.
While you're sitting in the car in a parking lot.
Or you're sitting in a car in a blazing hot sun or something. Yeah. So
that the other thing is, you know, when dad is sort of the principal of the school and understands what you're doing during the day, you know, when they leave for work, for all the joke used to be, oh, I'm just sitting here, you know, drinking coffee and having bonbons. Because they don't know what you're doing.
No, they don't.
They have no idea what you're doing. So if they're part of what they know what you're doing in your homeschool, When they call up and say, you know, honey, I just found out they're going to have a tennis club in our town, and I want the kids to all be signed up for daily practice and they can be in this tennis club. You say, wait. What is your contribution to this tennis club? Are you driving them every day and picking them up? Because I am out of time. If you want to eat dinner, you have to choose. You either get dinner or tennis club. Right. Or you drive them. I don't care. But so once they understand what you're doing during the day, the amount of time it takes, the amount of effort that it takes, I think they can be a little bit more reasonable in the other things that they want. And that's okay. My husband was big on the sports, I have to say. He loved the sports. He loved the music, that sort of stuff. But, you know, the big thing was, okay, Ed, who's taking them to this?
Right. Yeah, it's true. Everything is work. When my oldest son, Kevin, signed up for, he really wanted to do Scouts. And we didn't do Cub Scouts. He just went right into Boy Scouts at 11 years old. And I said to my husband, I have absolutely no time for this. Because it was on Thursdays and I was already driving to dance and soccer. I said, right. I cannot be in three places at once. I'm already being in two
as
places
wonderful
at
as you
once.
Are, you can't buy locate.
I couldn't do it. So he had to take that on. And of course, he ended up being a Scoutmaster. And it was a great thing because Kevin made Eagle. He's an Eagle Scout. You're always an Eagle Scout. And Brendan's doing it now, too. And he'll probably hopefully be an Eagle Scout. And it's been wonderful for the boys. It has been. But I was not doing it. And I still to this day really don't do much of anything with it. I show up at things and I help out here and there. But I could not take on another activity. Yeah. So if it was important to him, he had to make that work. I just could not.
And they're more understanding about that if they understand what you're doing during the day.
Yes. Yeah.
If they know what's happening, that, you know, Mary Ellen is getting three meals on the table and she's homeschooling all these kids and she's getting the laundry. If they have a better understanding of what we're doing, because we don't go to work. If they have a better understanding of that, then they're more likely to say, okay, I want the kids to take piano lessons and I will be the one responsible for making sure that he practices every day.
A way to do that too, if he can't be home during the day, is to have when the kids are around their dad, oh, tell dad what you learned about in history today, or show dad the essay you wrote, or, you know, oh, tell dad about your math test, you know, that kind of thing, or tell dad you're having some trouble with this. So maybe he has some suggestions. So like involve him in what little ways that you can during the day when he's around. Oh, show dad this, show dad that, you know, look at your art project, show him your history book, whatever it is. That makes them more aware of the workload too.
It does. And, you know, my husband's sort of a history lunatic. Like we never, 12 kids, I can count on one hand the number of times he went to amusement parks, which is not into amusement parks. We've been to so many battlefields and restored homes and museums and arboretums. We like that type of thing. That's the kind of family we are. And as a result, at one point I had three kids in college, all three were history majors.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I grew up in that house and we've done that too. My father could not pass a battlefield or an old cemetery or a museum. We had to stop. So, and I've tried to do that with my kids and they all really enjoy history. So yeah, that's a way to involve dad.
So you're not talking about something, you know, a video game. You're talking about Little Round Top.
Yeah. No, there are lots of ways you can involve dad if he's not home. So that being said, we are going to kind of wind up this part of How to Homeschool and Not Lose Your Mind. And part two will drop next Wednesdays. We're dropping on Wednesdays still. We had a
because
nice break.
Not losing your mind when you homeschool is a two-parter.
Right. Yeah, we had to break
definitely
this
not
up.
Something you can knock out in half an hour.
That's true. Yeah, we could have probably made it a six-parter, but we condensed it to two. So we are very grateful that you stuck with us after our break.
Please like and subscribe.
Yes, like, subscribe, five-star ratings, all that kind of stuff. We are really grateful for all of that. We want to thank Seton Home Study School again for being our primary sponsor here. Great friend to the podcast. We couldn't do it without them. We'd also like to thank our producer, Jason Lowry, our show notes coordinator, Jim Shanley, and Beth Egan is our new social media coordinator. And we're delighted to work with all of them. We couldn't do it without them. They actually do all the work. We just talk. So they do the hard stuff, the complicated stuff that we don't understand. So thank you to all of them and God bless.
God bless.
And now we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Seton Home Study School. Seton Home Study School is a nationally accredited, faithfully Catholic, private distant learning school that serves students from pre-K through 12th grade. There are currently 17,000 homeschool students enrolled in Seton Home Study School, and many, many more who use their books and materials, including several small Catholic schools. Since 1983, Seton Home Study School has faithfully served the homeschool community in the United States and all over the world. Please check out their website, setonhome.org, for more information. And thank you, Seton Home Study School, for sponsoring the podcast, The Stay-at-Home Schooling Moms.